Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, I am really excited because I have a live Wife of the Party coming up at Zany's in Nashville on April 14th. I hope you can join me. I am super excited. We're working on a special guest. That'll be announced sometime soon. And you can get tickets at nashcomedyfest.com or the link is in the description here.
And it's tough in my business. It's tough from where I came from, what people expect me to still look like 45 years later. Mm-hmm. They want me to be that same person in the magazine because it helps them not feel like they're older.
Thank you for not doing anything, because that gives me permission to not do anything either.
I give you permission not to do anything to your hair and to your face.
I'm going to continually talk to you anyway, because I feel bad to leave you out. I am Southern, so I can't leave you out. I'd feel bad. Georgia.
I was going to guess that.
You were? Mm-hmm. Why?
Because I was in Jacksonville for years.
Oh, were you? Why?
So, I had two ex-husbands still in Jacksonville, and I've got two sons that still live. They're in Ponte Vedra, just down at the beach.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. I've been to Jacksonville once. Mm-hmm. I, for a moment, dated a Navy boy.
You were in Mayport?
Wherever the Navy base is.
Mayport, yep.
I was so probably 19, so I don't really remember.
Yeah.
It was a long time
ago. It was Mayport, yeah.
But I remember it being nice. I remember it being, having a pleasant time.
Yeah. And I knew the owners of Sea Island.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Sea Island's supposed to be beautiful.
Yeah.
Never been there. Where are you from originally?
Outside of Buffalo.
Oh, okay. I thought so. I remembered New York, but I was like, maybe I'm misremembering.
Yeah.
That's cold. Big difference.
Yes.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, I know. When people think I'm Southern California, I'm like, nope.
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 And now Arizona?
Yeah. Now Arizona. Yeah.
Arizona's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hot, but beautiful.
It's actually colder there now than here. It gets colder at night than here. And then during the day, I think it's been a little cooler.
Yeah.
Here.
What an incredible life you have had, right?
Are you starting yet?
Oh, we started. That's how I like to start. That's how conversations start, right?
Like, did she just roll into it?
Of course. Because this podcast is just about having a good conversation, right?
There you go.
So I'm 53, so I'm younger than you.
Yeah.
So I grew up watching you in magazines, right?
Yeah.
Seeing you. And when Christine suggested you coming on the podcast, I almost fell out of my chair. I was like, are you kidding? I've known you my whole life, I feel like, even though I don't know you.
Yes, a lot of people, it was fun to hear. And that's what social media has done, is when we were working, we were kind of private and on our own, and you didn't get a lot of feedback. So social media now gives you a lot of feedback. People saying, I grew up with you, and I used to study your face and study your makeup. And I'm like, really? Good to know now, but not then.
Yes, I did the same. You look very similar to my mom. So I don't, my mom's blonde. She has green eyes. Clearly, I'm brunette, brown-eyed. She's very tall, very lean. And she was a model in Atlanta for a long time. So you look very similar to her in a lot of ways. But yeah, I used to watch you on magazines. I used to see you on Sports Illustrated. And I just can't believe you're here. So thank you for coming.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. But what a life you've led. Because I read a little bit about your life. I knew you grew up in New York.
Yep.
And you were recruited, right? To be a model.
Yes.
Was that something that was in your wheelhouse at all?
No. So I was going to be a pharmacist, or I thought I was going to be a pharmacist. So I was already enrolled in pharmacy school at University of Rhode Island. I was a swimmer, so I used to swim in high school. We were undefeated for 4 years straight. I was a butterflyer, so I had the big, huge lats and just really strong. And I thought I had my life planned. So in my senior year in high school, I didn't want to have to worry about it. So I made sure I had everything done and accepted in college in the fall part of the year so I could play or do whatever the rest of the year and not worry. I'm not a planner, but I'm practical.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was looking around, how can I make extra money? And so someone said, well, you're pretty. And I'm like, really? Because I was a tomboy. I never focused on magazines, unlike you. I never read them, didn't have any idea that what ones even existed. So they said, you should try modeling. So in Buffalo, before you could start making money, you had to spend money and go through all these different classes. And I felt like a fish out of water. I didn't belong. I didn't have books and I didn't have the makeup on. And I mean, my hair was wet and in a ponytail and jeans and t-shirt, right? So it wasn't really for me. And my envision of being a model was eating carrot sticks and my hair in rollers. And I mean, it was so far from who I was. So yeah, no, I definitely didn't plan it. But my parents raised me to try new things and that I could do anything I wanted, really. So I decided to put college on hold for a year, finish high school, turn 18 because my birthday's in the summer. And then I went to New York City and 2 days later I was in Rome and Paris for Italian Bazaar. And 4 days later I had the cover of the magazine. So life took off quickly and I didn't really need to make a decision. I remember it was like the college contacted me like a year later, like, are you coming? I said, oh, it's been a year already? No, I'm kind of busy here. So, yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it, how the road rises to meet you when you're on the right path.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And that was easy for me. And I think different people in life go through different journeys, right? Mm-hmm. So mine was in a way handed to me. Now, what I decided to do with it, which was a lot of hard work and putting aside any form of plane or what other people were doing in college. Mm-hmm. I missed all that.
Right.
So I was super dedicated and worked all the time. Any job that came up, pretty much I was saying yes to. But now as I'm reinventing myself, I find almost that struggle that people had when they were younger of getting into a business and redeveloping and reestablishing who you are and what you want to do. And now I find that those people that may have struggled when they were younger, it's kind of just, they've just kind of moved along, like now they get the free pass. And so it's a life lesson. It's all different journeys we go through to make us stronger, better people.
That's really interesting that you say that. I was just saying that about Bert and I, my husband, because we dated and not to be too explicit, but we got pregnant on the pill. So we weren't trying to have a baby. And all of a sudden, we were going to have a baby. So we skipped the honeymoon phase. And I feel like now we're almost empty nesters and we're in the honeymoon phase. We're like, oh, yeah. I remember what this was like when we were dating. So now we're like dating again, which would I would imagine what people who wait to have kids and are actually married for a minute went through. So I know what you mean. We kind of put the cart before the horse.
Right.
And now the horse is going before the cart. And it's just, it's kind of amazing. And at the same time, you go, oh, how interesting that is that people go like A to B to C. And we went A to C and now we're at B.
Yeah.
Now, what does D look like? Because it was all out of order.
Right. We don't know yet. We're not there.
We don't either. We just started.
We're going to be in a rocking chair somewhere, right. Just not worrying about anything.
I bet you're not. I bet you will have something going on.
Yes, I will.
I bet you will.
I will.
So at what point in your modeling career did the work just slow down or did you say, you know what, I need to slow down? Or how did that kind of transition?
Yeah, that was interesting. So probably the first thing that happened, number one, I'd get up to 14 job offers in a day.
Wow.
And sometimes I could do 3 magazine covers in a day.
Oh my gosh.
Every 4 hours. So yeah. So when things slowed down, it was when I got my Ultima 2 contract with Revlon. Mm-hmm. So I was paid to be exclusive, which mm-hmm. meant they didn't want to see me in all the catalogs and all these other places. So they paid me to step aside from all that. So mm-hmm. that lasted 3 years from the age of about 23 to 26. Had my first son at 25. And so now my life was a little different. I was going back and forth from Florida. But once the Revlon stopped, then people would look at me like, okay, well, you're in a different level. You're no longer just a normal model. And that's when that supermodel term started coming mm-hmm. out. And so I was like, what's a supermodel? And they're like, you are, darling. And I'm like, really? Like, we didn't know. We were working all the time, like right. really just in our own little worlds and trying to just keep going, right?
Well, at the pace you're talking about of three jobs a day or three covers a day, that sounds like a 14-hour day at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how could you, you're in a bubble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just working.
And another fascinating thing about when people worry or think about what's right or what fashion's working. So when I would do the three different covers a day, you had the top makeup and hair people in the world touching you. But there was one set for glamour, and then there was another set for Mademoiselle, and there was another set for Bazaar, right? So each time I would leave one booking, and meanwhile, they're telling you, this is it, you're beautiful, this is the shot, right? Then you wash your face and you go to the next one, and then they redo you, right? And they're like, oh, this is beautiful, this is it, this. So fashion is objective and beauty is objective. And even the best, most wonderful makeup artists had different opinions on how they would make your face up. So when women watching this say, oh, there's only one look or there's only one you and I'll never be you. Everybody has a look. Everybody's got beauty. It's all just an opinion, really. So it was fascinating because I got to see it and feel it every moment. Mm-hmm. And this earring is the best earring. And this is this and this jacket. And it's like, no, it's just what works for the moment.
Right.
And that's the way it is with life.
It's true. It's really hard to, I think, I don't know if it's really hard, but I think sometimes it's hard to think that way because you see things that maybe don't look like you that is the standard or the best, you know?
Well, I was always willing to play and had options. And people will say, well, look at your face. You can have anything put on you and you're fine. But no, women start to get stuck. You may have only one hairstyle that works for you and only one lipstick color and only one way to put on your makeup and you're not going to change. And I did an article. I started writing an article on this years ago. Like, at what point do women say, this is it and I'm never changing again? Like, this is my hairstyle and this is what I'm going to do. And they are not willing to try new things. They don't want to get out of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. But that's not very fun. Right?
To get out of your comfort zone?
Yeah, I think it's fun to get out of your comfort zone.
For some people, they can't do it. And even some actresses, Morgan Fairchild, who's wonderful, but she has her own crew and she only wants her hair and makeup done a certain way. And you always, she's got a brand and that exact look stays with her all the time. Mm-hmm. Other people like me, I mean, I just cut all my hair off and gave it away. And so, I mean, I had hair down to my back and decided I want something different. And to me, I love change and I love playing and trying new things.
It's fun to do that. I think it keeps you, not that there's anything wrong with Morgan Fairchild's way of doing life.
Well, and that works for her.
Mm-hmm. Totally. But I think as I wanted to talk to you at some point about aging because we are all aging every day, right?
Yes.
But what I find interesting about aging is sort of what you're talking about is that recently, I started reevaluating how I present myself to the world because I'm really comfortable in my skin. I'm really comfortable with who I am, and I wear really comfortable clothing.
And how did you get to that point?
How
do any of us get to that point?
You know, I think, to be honest with you, the ladies downstairs in my office are younger than me. And I usually hang out with women my age. And we're all kind of similar, right? And when some of the younger ladies would show up looking really fashionable, I would go, oh, hold on, I could probably do that.
Right.
But I'm not reading the magazines or on Instagram looking for that. I'm on Instagram looking for like funny cat videos, you know, mom quotes for my teenagers. I'm not looking at fashion. And then, so I started paying attention to that. I have a sister-in-law that's 10 years younger. So I started asking her advice. She's very fashionable. And I've never thought of myself as fashionable, much like you. Even though I looked at magazines, I was very tomboy. So I was like, but when you get to a certain age, in order for me to feel the best, I needed to start shopping differently. Like I was still shopping for comfort clothes, but at 53, comfort clothes looks very different than at 33.
Yes.
Right?
And they can even rock the jammies better than us.
100%. I go out in jammies and they go, she's clearly depressed. You know? I didn't know how to transition into clothes that I was comfortable in and looked good in, looked put together.
Right.
So I reached out to my sister-in-law's. I watched some of the ladies downstairs. And then my daughter, I have a 19 to 17-year-old. One day my daughter said, "You've got to stop parting your hair on the side, Mom." And I went, "Why?" She goes, "Because the cool moms part their hair in the middle. So you got to just try it."
Yeah. Okay.
So I've always parted my hair on the side, always. And I was like, "Well, okay, I'll try it." And then I was like, "Okay, I see what she's saying." And then I started paying attention to that in Instagram posts and younger kids. I'm a side part. I'm a diehard side part. I know I almost didn't say it. But yeah, when she said that, I was like, "Well, let me try it." You know, it doesn't mean that I'll stay a part in the middle.
Right.
But depending on the outfit.
Right.
That might make me like feel more hip.
Right.
And then other outfits, I'll part it in the middle. And then what happens is when you part it in the middle for so long, it gives you volume when you part it on the side, right?
Yes.
So it's kind of a win-win. So that's kind of what I started doing. I started going, maybe I should take interest in this because of how it would make me feel.
Right.
Really. Because I wasn't feeling great about myself as I've aged.
And our audience needs to examine that.
100%.
And that I just did a post recently and I said, "I'm not coloring my hair anymore. I'm going gray. I'm not going to do anything to my face. I'm not going to do fillers. I'm not going to do Botox. I'm not going to do any of that." And I've gotten this huge backsplash. I've gotten a most positive, 98% positive.
Amazing.
But some negative. And that was another reason I cut my hair was because the gray's coming in. Mm-hmm. I had all this blonde down to here and it was like, okay, there's all these colors and all that. There's children that need my hair. So here, take it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I don't do any fillers or anything like that either. I'm not ready to go gray, although I'm almost completely gray, but I will at some point.
Yeah. I considered, because of my clean living, I considered the toxins. And anytime I used to color my hair, and we never did when we worked. Mm. We didn't have salons back then.
Right.
I had natural, that was natural hair when we were working. All those magazine covers, everything was not done in a salon, right?
Right.
But when I started using the salon, I would get massive headaches.
So funny. My head itches See? In the same spot right back here really badly after I leave the salon for the whole day until I wash my hair again.
Right.
Yeah, I've the same.
Yeah. So that to me was important. It was, I'm into staying as free of chemicals as possible and just trying to be as natural as possible. And it's tough in my business. It's tough from where I came from, what people expect me to still look like 45 years later. They want me to be that same person in the magazine because it helps them not feel like they're older, right?
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
But that's not how I feel. Because I look at you and go, "Thank you for not doing anything," because that gives me permission to not do anything either.
I give you permission not to do anything to your hair and to your face.
Exactly, because you're beautiful. You've always been beautiful, but you're beautiful. And I start looking at myself and go, "Well, maybe this is hanging a little lower, but I'm not going to fix it."
No.
And part of it, you know what I've started doing, which I think is kind of cool. I loved my grandmother so much. And I see my, you know, when you're little, your grandma at 50 is just ancient.
Right.
And I think 50, when I was little, looked very different than 50 today.
Yes.
But I'm starting to see how I'm aging like my grandmother. And I'm now starting to love the parts of me that look like her because I loved her so much.
Yeah.
She was so freckled. I am so freckled. And she, you know, she had wrinkly skin on her chest. I have wrinkly skin on my chest. But I go, "Well, that's my granny."
Yeah.
So if I connect that to that really important person in my life who I just adored.
Right.
Then it's helping me adore those parts of me where you go, "Well, that doesn't look like it did 5 years ago."
Right. And there are things, I'm not saying not to do anything. And people also say, "Oh, you just gave up." I didn't give up, but I choose to do things in a more natural way.
There's nothing about you sitting in front of me today that looks like you gave up. There's not one thing. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, so Have you always been this sounds weird, but a clean living person? Or at what point did you go, you know what, I'm going to start living cleaner? I know you wrote a book about replacing bad ingredients with healthier ingredients.
Called Cheat Eat, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I saw that you wrote that book.
Which is just kind of who I am, if you know me. Like you can ask my husband's dinner. It's like, look in the pantry. And I used to do this with the boys because I have three sons. And I'd be like, look in the pantry, look in the freezer. It's like, oh, that would go with that. And I know the recipe said that, but I don't have it. And I'm going to just use that instead. So that's just who I am. And so once I started studying and learning more, and there's more options. We didn't used to have cauliflower flour and kamut and quinoa. I mean, 5-10 years ago, we might have had it, but nobody talked about it, or I didn't know about it. And so the more we learn and the more I can teach or present to people, hey, you might not have thought of this, but you might want to replace this with this, and this is the reason why. And it's just, for me, it's just fun, and that's just who I am. So the clean living, I think, came from, number one, the background of wanting to be a pharmacist way back in 1978. That's one of the few options. There wasn't a naturopathic medicine doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't such a thing that I could have gone to college for. Mm-hmm. So I would have, if I had not modeled, I would have transitioned into the healthier aspects. And who knows where I would have been if I said no to the modeling idea. But it's just something, it's a love of mine. It's what I want to look at in the morning and what I want to research when I have free time. Like you were talking about how you look on Instagram of, we all have topics that we're interested in. Mm-hmm. So people may not have the time to research what I'm interested in, but I want to present like a quick video of, hey, you might not have thought of this, or here's a new product, or here's a new way of shaving. My husband, I was looking for shaving cream, and I was like, I have these apps on my phone. I'm like, oh, that's like filled with junk. It's like bad. That one. And he didn't want the soaps. He wanted the foam. Well, what makes the foam is not healthy. So finding it was difficult.
But did you find one?
I found one and he didn't like it. It hurt his face. So then what? What is it in the shaving cream that's unhealthy that works for his face? So I'm still looking.
Still searching.
Yes, I'm still searching. But that's part of everything. So now I've started writing for Men's Journal on this subject. So I am a contributing editor to Men's Journal, and I have my own articles that go out daily on different aspects. And some of clean living is even the mindset, how we think about things and what we put into our minds and our eye gate, you know, what we look at, what we listen to, how other people affect us, and whether we choose to take a positive or negative role. I mean, people are giving you advice. People are giving me advice. Do you take it? Do you learn from it? Or you just let it go?
That's wonderful. You're right. It comes out every day.
Yes. I just started last week, though. I've got 14 articles out.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it?
I am. Yeah. I am. It's new. And at 63, learning new tricks is probably taking longer than when I was younger, but yes, I do enjoy it. But I'm also learning that I have certain strengths, and for me to be creative and a businesswoman is tough. So I need to find this new path, and we talked about that a little bit off camera, of where's your strength, what do you enjoy doing, and what do you want to pass off and let other people do for you and work with you as a team.
Now, is that hard? Is that hard? That what you just described is nearly impossible for me to do. I don't know why. I have a hard time farming out. Even the things I hate. I hate laundry. I would rather dig a ditch, I think, than do laundry. Oh. And I have the hardest time just letting someone else do my laundry. Oh. I don't know why. Super stubborn.
Yeah.
But do you find it's hard to pass off things that...
Well, this is going to be new for me because at this point, I'm a one-person person. So I am looking for someone to take that. And my husband and I were talking about what is it that I want to do and want to get excited waking up. And then what part is like, oh, I got to tag this person and this and that. And so it's a matter of where does all that fit? And I want to do what makes me happy. And if I'm creating, I can't be bogged down with some of the technical. Although you'd think more or less I'm more of that practical person. So I got these both sides. Some of us can kind of go both ways. But I mean, I have to create, and if my name's on it, I'm writing it.
Right. That's amazing. That's so cool that you're writing for Men's Journal.
Yeah.
I love that. I can't wait to read some of them. I didn't know that. I got a little breakdown of the highlights of what's going on for you. And yeah. I missed that. Maybe it's in there.
It's brand new. It's just launched last week.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there something that you've always wanted to do that you haven't done yet?
Well, in a way, I mean, I love television. I love being in front of the camera. And I'm irked because the actresses have taken not only our covers from being a model, not only the commercials for hair, makeup, whatever it is, skin. Now they're taking the talk shows. Mm. And I would love to do Drew Barrymore, get off to the side so I can do a lifestyle talk show. Right. I mean, so yes, there are things that I do want to do. And maybe I should go and start acting and taking their jobs since they're so busy doing mine.
Well, you know, the great thing about today is if that's something you really wanted to do, you could do that for YouTube. You could do it all on your own. You don't need a studio anymore. Right. I mean, that's what we're doing. Yeah. So this,
but there's that hiring the people that are behind the scenes to set it all up because I don't want to do that part.
Well, there is that part too. You do have to go out of pocket for a minute.
I don't mind the out of pocket. It's just the what do you have to do? The administrative stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You just have to hire the right people.
Yes.
Exactly like you're talking about before. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. A talk show, like a lifestyle talk show.
Yes. And pulling out the healthy living and healthy boundaries and healthy hairstyle and healthy workouts. I mean, as I age, I'm 63. I don't do the same workouts I did.
I mean, how could you?
When I was 17, I was swimming 5.5 hours a day. Now, what do I do now when I have an adrenal and thyroid problem? So I wrote a book on thyroid. So if I work out super, super hard, I wipe myself out and I can't do anything. I can't create. I can't think. I can't do much. So you have to find that healthy balance of what works for you. And yes, look at somebody to get that strength and possibly inspiration, but don't do what they're doing because that might wipe you out or it's not enough exercise or something. So we're all different. That's what you learn is everybody's different. And what's good about what we're doing is there's so much information out there. The bad part is you have to filter it and you can't just jump on every bandwagon there is.
That's very true. You know, I think what you're talking about is very interesting because there's nothing like that in entertainment, that someone in their 60s presenting what life and lifestyles and boundaries and clean living and how to take care of yourself is like post 50. Let's say not even just specifically your 60s, but right. 50 or older. I work out with a trainer 3 days a week. We work out really hard. But he's working us out knowing that someday I'm going to be 80.
Right.
So the workouts I'm doing now will maybe change a little bit, but they're really about 80. And the things he talks about, our trainer specializes in really high achieving athletes, people who have injuries or geriatrics. So when he always has a focus with people like me on going toward geriatric and what do you do to what needs to be addressed.
Yeah, stay mobile and
balance.
And weights for the bone density.
Exactly.
Yeah, and balance.
And balance. He said the number one thing that puts someone in a nursing home is the inability to get off a toilet.
Wow.
Number one. So think about the exercise.
I don't want to think about that.
No, but nobody does. But how simple is that to get ahead of?
But it happens.
It's squats.
Yeah.
You just do squats. Do 25 squats in the morning. Do 25 squats at night. Guess what? That's how you get on and off the toilet is a squat.
Yes.
So I was like, that's the simplest piece of information.
Yes.
That no one puts out there.
That's very descriptive.
Well, you know, yes, it is. But let's face it, we all do use a toilet. Hopefully. Yes. If we don't, then we got bigger problems.
I know. Yes.
But yeah, there's no one's presenting. Like these are the vitamins that you need, the supplements that you need. Mm-hmm. You can't be eating. I mean, obviously we know some of this. You shouldn't be eating fried food at a certain age or fill in the blank. But some of those little smaller pieces, no one's talking about mm-hmm. on a regular basis. I think that would be a great talk show.
Yeah. Well, and I'm finding, like I wrote one for Men's Journal on protein powders. There's new protein powders that are out. And I'm like, ooh, it hasn't been talked about because they're so new. So one is with a limpini bean.
Oh, what is that?
It's up from the Andes Mountains, way, way up high in the Andes Mountains. And literally, it's a protein powder with one ingredient. What? Makuna. Yeah, is the name of the company. So yeah,
wait, I've heard of Makuna. How do I know that?
And the protein powder, they call it chuchu. C-H-O-C-H-O.
Wait, I know this. I've seen this somewhere. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I didn't know that it was from this particular bean and that there was only one ingredient.
Yeah. Well, that's really why cool. I write articles because exactly. It's like, I love stuff like this. So let me share it.
That's so cool. So earlier we were talking about how you love animals.
I love animals. Yes. I've had probably a lot different animals, probably a lot more animals than most people.
Now, where did that come from?
Let's see. When I was growing up, I had a dog. That was it. And I went to horse camp for Girl Scouts once. And I said to my mom, I want to bring home a horse and put it in my bedroom. And, you know, when you're 11 or 12, that's what you think. Or a bunny rabbit. I wanted a bunny rabbit. Nope, she wouldn't give me those things. So she still feels it's her fault. When I was first married to my first husband and living in Florida, I had 26 acres across from the ocean. And my first Mother's Day present, my son at the time was 2 months old, and I got a 4-year-old cougar, rescued cougar, declawed, defanged, neutered, and deaf.
What?
And
had to wait a minute.
And I'm still working in New York City. And
Wait. Where did this cougar come from?
She was rescued from some person's house who had her and couldn't take care of her anymore. And my ex knew somebody that was taking care of all these wild cats as a rescue. And I don't know how he arranged it. She just ended up showing up. But she was registered with Florida Fish and Game and had her own license. And they would come out all the time, make sure she was fine. And she lived to a ripe old age and died of old age. Then I got a serval and I had Rias. So a serval's like a little bobcat. Mm-hmm. Rias are kind of like ostriches. I've had goats, pigs, sheep, ducks, trained ducks. A lot of things. What else? Guinea pigs and little guinea pigs.
That's so cool. People don't know you can train ducks and chickens.
Well, my little ducks this was when I was living in Florida and there were a ton of raccoons where we lived. And so baby ducks are, you know, that's good snack food.
Delicious.
Delicious. So I had them in a protected area, but I felt it was double protection if I put them in the center of the pig pen and that the raccoons were not going to go into the pig pen. And so when I would feed the pigs, I'd say, pig, 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 right? So the ducks knew I was feeding them at the same time I was feeding the pigs. So for them, that was their call for food. And so as they got older, they're up flying around and I would go out to feed the pigs and I'd say the term and they'd literally, wah, 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 and all 22 of them land right at my feet. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool.
That's amazing. 22 ducks, that's a lot.
That was. See, they made it. Well, you buy like 25 at a time, right? And if you're out in North Florida, they're not going to last very long. But they lasted because they're protected.
That's great. You had an ecosystem, right? You had the pigs took care of the ducks. And that's really cool.
Yeah.
What was it like owning a cougar?
It was work in some ways, and it's much easier to talk about how fun it was years later. But I mean, it was a responsibility, making sure she was fine and she had exercise and her diet was fine. And, she just needed special food. And I mean, even the serval, she needed special food.
What is special food? What
well, is it? It was, we got the serval when she was like baby. Aww. And so, she was eating Gerber's strained chicken, strained chicken food. And so that's for humans, right? Mm-hmm. For babies. And so I went to the zoo and I said, what could you give me that I could put in supplement in here? And they didn't have anything except for a tiger. And what a tiger needed was not what she needed because she was smaller. And every time I'd mix this extra supplement into her food, she'd be like, don't want it. I just want the plain baby food. So it was tough. And so I had 3 boys at the time with always friends over and sports and whatever. And so she jumped out of a second floor window because she was half wild.
Yeah.
And broke her femur. Aww. And so I casted that. And then I had to take care of her for a month when she was a baby. And
aww.
Yeah.
That's so tough. Cool. I think I would love to have a cougar. I love animals. I grew up with large animals on a farm.
Yeah.
So obviously a cow is not the same as a cougar.
Right.
But it's still a large, you know, animal like horses.
Yeah.
There's something really special. I mean, I have two enormous dogs. There's something really special about having this huge animal to just love
But she would like, the second somebody would come in the yard, she'd pick the smallest one and she'd like literally just stalk it with her eyes. And
And would she ever do anything?
Well, no, because she had a double cage.
Oh,
she had her own enclosure in her own area. I mean, we could let her out.
Yeah.
But I'd put her on a harness.
Okay, gotcha.
Leash.
Yeah, I wondered because one time we took the girls to like Six Flags up by San Francisco, but they have kind of a SeaWorld type place with it. Bert was shooting a TV show for Travel Channel and he had an episode at this wild animal park. And our Isla was four at the time and she was crawling on her hands and knees on the bleachers and there were two white tigers and both of them went shook. Mm-hmm.
There's something about that. Yes, that stare, that cat stare.
It was scary.
It's eerie. Yeah.
And they went for they were in like a glass enclosure and they went after her. Mm-hmm. Obviously they couldn't get her, but it was really scary to watch.
They know the smallest, most, I guess the weakest.
Yeah.
They know immediately.
It's just their instinct.
Yep.
They're just hunters.
Yep.
It was, God, that'd be crazy to live with one. That'd be so crazy.
Yeah.
How old did the cougar live?
She was about 15.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
I would have thought maybe 8 or 9.
Yeah. But she died of old age.
Just old age.
Great old girl.
Aw.
Yeah.
Any animals that you never got to have that you wanted?
Well, I never got the horse in my bedroom. I never got the horse, but that's okay.
Still time.
No. If you have the horse, you have to have the land and you have to have the time. And I think things are just going to get busier with me writing with Men's Journal and the other things that I've got going on.
Too much.
Yeah.
So you were a Girl Scout.
I was a Girl Scout.
How long were you a Girl Scout?
Oh, I don't remember. Probably through... How do they go? Up to sixth grade. I was a brownie first and then went into Girl Scouts. I just remember the wagon and the cookies. And if you have Girl Scouts in your area and you don't eat cookies, like I just always give them money and say, buy them for yourself or give them to someone who can't. We don't want the cookies.
Yeah.
But there's something about when you're young and you're in a neighborhood and people just buy whatever it is you're selling. Mm. You think that house is the greatest house, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
when they come around now, my husband and I'll just give them a 20 and say, either buy them for yourself or give them to someone else that needs them.
Well, they have a great program. I'm a Girl Scout troop leader for 13 years. Both our girls have been in Girl Scouts since kindergarten. So I've got a sophomore in college. She's obviously not now, but it goes through senior in high school now.
It does.
It does. So
okay, back. I mean, I'm old, so.
But I don't think it did even when I was young.
Sixth grade,
I think it was the same when I was young, too. Yeah. But now I have our troop has seniors, juniors, and sophomores in high school that have been in our troop since kindergarten. So 13-year-long Girl Scouts. But
they probably have lots of badges.
Lots of badges. So many badges. I keep thinking, what do we do with all of these? Like, I feel bad to just, I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know where mine went. Actually,
I bet yours are amazing.
I had a lot of badges.
I bet yours are amazing.
I wonder where my badges are.
Well, when you give them that $20, it goes to a great program called Gift of Caring.
There you go.
And they donate boxes of cookies to local food pantries.
Good.
USO and somewhere else. But they donate cookies to a great cause.
Good.
So
I'm all into charities, great causes. I mean, I gave away my hair for children with hair loss. So they're going to make a wig. And they are asking for longer hair. And I do charity golf events all over the country. So
you play golf?
I play golf. I do better when it's the best, the best ball.
I don't know what that means.
That means that 4 people play and everyone tees off. And then you're like, oh, that was the ball we want to take. So then we all play from that ball and then you play into the hole.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It makes it a little bit quicker because many a time you've got lots and lots of different people on the course and you have to move along.
Right.
So, yeah.
So you're clearly just an athlete. I mean, like super athletic.
Yeah. And then I've run 8 marathons.
What? Yep. You've run 8 marathons?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Yep.
I'm not running unless something's chasing me. I love to work out, but running is not my favorite thing.
I did it years ago to prove that I was athletic instead of super skinny because people in the business would always look at me, or designers. I could never really fit into a Valentino. His waists were so small.
Oh, yeah.
My rib cage was big and everything was big. I'm like, oh. And so you'd feel bad. And I'm like, okay, well, this is my strength, not that.
Right.
So everybody's got that. Mm-hmm. And you have to stay in your lane in some areas, because you've got to have that feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer in trying new things, but again, you cannot be everything to everybody.
Right.
So it's good to just pick your lane, and it's okay to stay in certain areas and not in others. But yeah, I've played charity hockey games. So I had three sons. They all played hockey and football and lacrosse and everything. So I would do charity hockey games with Christopher Reeves, if you remember back in the day with him. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a new documentary out. Have you seen the documentary about the supermodels? Have you seen that documentary?
No, I don't want to watch it.
No?
No, it's the 90s. We were the 80s. How do you think they got there?
Well,
they
that's, got there you're from right. us. You're right. So I didn't think about
little,
that.
It's a little irritating to
Is
see
Is it?
That. Yeah.
Because they haven't done it for you. And who else? Christy Brinkley? And
Christy's about 6 years older than I am.
Yes.
But we paved the way
you
for those girls.
You absolutely did.
And I don't know if they give credit, but— You know, it is what it is. But I can't live in the past. I don't do well there. I'm not going to dwell there. It's not good for my mental thing. So I focus on future and where I want to go and what I want to do.
Right. That's very valid. Yeah, I totally understand. I watched it. I was just curious if you'd seen it.
Yeah.
You're right. They did. You did pave the way for a lot of women to be in that industry and be successful.
Yeah.
Was there a time in your life where you just took a break from modeling, or have you always modeled?
No. So after the Revlon, went into broadcasting. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I had sons. I was living in Florida, traveling each week to New York. But because I wasn't able to go back where I was in modeling, I needed to move forward. And so I also had two health clubs in Florida and wanted to do some advertising for them. So I became a fitness correspondent and went in my clubs doing fitness pieces. Mm-hmm. I did that for about 9 months, and then I got picked up by Good Morning America. So I was their fashion editor at Good Morning America for 3 years and learned how to do voiceover, learned how to do live interviews, learned a lot about broadcasting. I had wonderful people behind me. Joan London helped me.
Wow.
Charlie Gibson was there. I had a great producer, Ann Reynolds. And so I learned a lot from that and realized I liked speaking. I didn't want to be silent and just standing and presenting myself with just body image. So for me, I liked speaking, but not so much speaking as pulling things out from other people also.
Right.
And so then I started hosting shows. I hosted a bunch of different shows. So I liked the broadcasting. And then when that got a little bit low, I started on a speaking circuit. Mm. So I was speaking. And at this point, I have three sons and they're into sports galore. And so it was juggling all of that and also my career. And so it just kind of evolved. And again, wasn't afraid to step out, try new things, see if I was good at them.
That's so great. That's so cool. I love hearing people's journeys through life, because it's so rare that you go to college, pick a career, and stay in that career your whole life. I think nowadays, especially, people zigzag all over the place. I love hearing the journey, because I think some people listening have a hard time pivoting. Like, is this going to be okay? Am I going to be okay?
And you know what? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't know if it's going to be okay, but you still have to step out.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something that's where it's like, I'll try. I did that with Good Morning America. I mean, I'm literally in a meeting in New York City up in the corporate offices. She's like, do you want to give this a try? And I'm like, sure. She says, good. You're live on the air tomorrow morning.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? But I did it.
Yeah.
You have to put in the work. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of these young kids just want, they see what we've done and they just feel like it's easy. But there's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of showing up. There's a lot of denying yourself and missing other opportunities and not hanging out here or doing that. It's that you're in work mode.
Yeah.
So I've more or less lived that that hard work ethic. And I think that gets me where I've been. I mean, because we all have opportunities and we all have different ways we can pivot. Mm-hmm. Number one, do you take it? Number two, how much time are you going to devote and really try and make it work?
It's actually exactly what you said about modeling. You mm-hmm. got the opportunity, the road rose to meet you. But what you did with that opportunity was what really made it
right.
amazing. So that's the lesson, really, for any opportunity. If you get hired at your first job ever at a local ice cream shop, there's an opportunity to maximize that experience for yourself. What yeah. can you learn? You can learn, you know, how the manager does the scheduling. Mm-hmm. And you have no idea where that might apply mm-hmm. later in life. I have so many jobs that I've thought didn't mean much. And now today I go, oh, wow.
Yes.
That's where I learned how to balance my checkbook or whatever, fill right. in the blank, how to write a budget.
Right.
Was in this place where I did not want the job and was required to write a budget.
Yes.
So guess what I do now a lot? I deal with budgets. So I think that's really cool. Now, where do you think that work ethic came from? Did you come from a family culture that was really about work ethic? Did it come from swimming?
My parents were always very supportive, but they always were allowing me to do numerous things at once. Mm-hmm. And there was never a cap on like, oh, well, I don't have the time to take you there. We don't have the money to do that. So I was very fortunate. Mm-hmm. And that was the mindset of my family. And I only have one sister and she's very successful also. Mm-hmm. But also the swimming and literally putting in that work. I've always been super tall. So I've been this height since I was 11.
Oh my gosh.
And so I used to step up on the swim blocks and the kids would literally go, she's not a midget, you know, because that was like the term for like a, you know, 6 to 8 year old or something. And I was always yeah. this big giant person. And I'm like, I am too. I'm only seven or whatever. So I don't know. I just felt like I had to prove all the time. And as my husband will tell you, I'm very competitive. So, yeah.
But that competitiveness is good too for exactly what you're talking about is once the opportunity comes, it's what you do with it. I think a competitiveness, a drive, a grit, that's all kind of part of that same makeup, you know? And I don't think, I think that some people are born with a lot of that intensely,
yeah.
but it's definitely something you can learn.
Yes.
It's not like you got it or you don't got it.
Right.
You can learn, you can really ask of yourself.
Or ask a lot of questions.
Yes.
I'm very curious. And when you're young, you don't realize you're curious necessarily, but I guess I've been an overachiever. I used to take home extra homework. And meanwhile, I'm playing clarinet in the band, in the marching band, in the concert band, and I'm swimming 5.5 hours a day, and I'm in youth group and doing all this stuff. And I was working in a drugstore because I thought I was going to help make, you know, money and whatever, but didn't make very much money there.
Well, the intention was good, right?
Yes, yes.
The intention was good. So what's been the hardest thing for you about aging?
I'm not sure if nothing necessarily comes to the top of my head. I guess what I don't like mm-hmm. is if I'm in the gym and I'm lifting, I've had to change things because my neck is sore. And so certain exercises and doing dumbbells and stuff throws my neck off. And my knee is bad, so I can no longer run. But I used to be able to go to Sweden or go on these trips. And I even ran in Africa in the middle of the for Sports Illustrated, when I should not have gone for a run because I could have gotten eaten by something.
Wow.
But I loved seeing a country from running mm-hmm. and going out for a 5-10 mile run or whatever. And I'm benched because of my knee now. So that's the part that is sad in a way. And you do have to adapt. And I don't really like adapting because I'm competitive. So I'm like, I could work through that. And I did that for years running. And guess what? It got worse. Mm. So it's better for me to do other things. So now I'm rowing and biking and trying to find all these other cardio exercises that give me that same runner's high. And I haven't really found it.
You know? No.
I mean, I love hiking and things. And that's kind of the same. But
right.
I can hike up better than down.
Right.
Down hurts my knee. So it's like, darn, I've gone up already. No.
Down is surprisingly challenging, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't like down much either.
Yeah.
I can like huff it up all day long.
Yeah.
But down, I'm... Oh.
Yeah. It's kind of like life too. We like climbing up. We don't like going down.
Some people. Yeah. I think some people, the going down is a lot easier for some people.
I guess they coast.
They coast. Exactly.
No, we're thinking about literally hiking down.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 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 no. I don't know. I think aging is a wonderful opportunity to really evaluate your wisdom about who you are, what you want, and what you've achieved, right?
In a way. And for me, my personality is to teach others. Mm-hmm. And so to give back between the charity and the whatever my personality is, it's like, this is what I've learned and this is how I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
If people listen, you know, if they want to know that.
I feel the same way. That's one of the reasons I started my podcast is because I feel like I have such great people in my life. Often my friends come and we just talk about whatever's going on in our life. And I feel like that's a great window into early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in your 20s, teenagers,
yeah.
If you have middle schoolers, you know.
Do they listen?
My teenagers? Or listeners?
Other, your audience.
Yes, they do.
Oh,
yes,
good.
My audience. Okay. I have a lot of comments saying, I'm so glad I've heard this conversation. This is ahead of me, and it's great to know what's coming.
There
right?
you go. Good.
In the day before.
Back in the day.
Back
when I was young. All this right? is how we did things, Sonny.
Well, a long time ago, we used to sit on the porch and tell these tales,
and
right?
And they were going to do the same thing, the 20-year-olds.
Totally.
Think of 40 years, 50 years from now. Who knows?
We'll
all be eating meat out of a test tube. And
I hope not.
I've heard that they're making diamonds from little
they
culture.
They are.
Yeah. Like, wait, what? What's normal and natural anymore?
I know. It is kind of confusing, isn't it? And especially when you see, I just watched The Golden Bachelor, which I really loved. I've never been one to watch The Bachelor, but my teenager, who I've, since you've had three teenagers, wanted to watch it with me because she's into it. So, of course, I will watch it with her to be connected with her.
Right.
But I'm not a fan of that kind of, I feel like, it's too much display.
I haven't seen it.
It's too public. I don't like it. But I've watched it with her. But I was really surprised at how many ladies on The Golden Bachelor had a lot of work done. And at a certain point, parts of their face all looks the same.
Ooh.
Each face, you know, each mouth structure looks the same. And there's no individuality anymore.
How does that work with passports?
Good question. How does that work with global entry where they just scan your face?
Right, right.
I don't know how that works.
But yeah, or even facial recognition, right? Don't they have facial recognition everywhere now? It's like, wait a minute, last week that was a different person.
Last week. But yeah, I go, aw, that makes me feel sad that's where things are headed in a large scale.
Or they feel they have to.
Yeah, I don't want that.
That's where I'm trying to give permission. You don't have
to. You don't have to. You don't have to do that. People are, you're just beautiful as a human being. I don't know. It made me kind of sad.
Yeah, and it's the personality and it's the continence and the spirit. I mean, it's our spirits that are filled with light or darkness and blah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And wisdom.
Yes.
You know, wisdom. I just read a great book called From Strength to Strength, and I had a hard time with it in the beginning. But my takeaway from it was, as you age, what's fulfilling is sharing wisdom, right? Is sharing your life experiences and gaining more wisdom so that you can continue to share it.
Right.
And I think, I wonder how I would like to present that mindset to the world instead of anything alternate.
Right.
Fill in the blank what the alternate might be.
Right, right.
But
God says for us to ask for wisdom. So I ask him all the time.
Oh, I do too. So are you, I think you're very religious.
I'm a Christian. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I grew up religious, sort of, Southern Baptist, but my mother was very into Maharishi Mahishi Yogi.
Oh.
So I got a little bit of everything. So I don't really know what I am, but I'm very, very spiritual and I talk to God all the time. I've read the Bible all the way through. I really resonate with a lot in the Bible. I don't go to church, but I am very connected, I feel like, to God. I listen a lot.
That's important. because he's talking all the time.
Isn't that the truth?
He is. If we're quiet, if we give him the opportunity, which, you know, it's us being too busy. Yeah. If we just get still for a while, he's talking and he's instructing.
100%. Mm-hmm. And he's offering. Mm-hmm. That's what I think all the time is he's offering an opportunity or a piece of advice. You just have to, be in tune to mm-hmm. listening mm-hmm. and accepting and receiving.
Yes.
And not trying to be in absolute control.
Oh.
Right?
Not at all. It's like, take your hands off the wheel. Yeah.
Have you always had a good connection to religion?
When I was 17, I was an elder at my church.
Amazing.
Because they wanted a young person's opinion. Then I kind of went off for a while, but no, now I teach Bible study and I just read that all the time. And I do go to church and he's first in my life.
That's amazing. I think that's amazing. I taught Bible school to young kids too when I was in my late 20s, I guess.
Yeah.
Here in LA. And I really loved it. And I got away from it for no reason. My grandmother had a great philosophy, which you may not agree with, but I liked her philosophy. She was like, if you've read the Bible, if you've studied, if you're living right and you're representing yourself as you should be to the community, church is like a hospital. You go there when you're off track.
Yeah.
Your practice should be every day, and you shouldn't need to walk into the doors of a building to practice. It should be all day, every day. That should be just who you are.
Right.
So I was like, I actually kind of like that because it makes it easier. To me, growing up in Southern Baptist, based on what they taught, a lot of people didn't do what they taught, which is abstinence from alcohol and, a lot abstinence from,
sex.
Exactly. So, and I would watch people, elders or people that were very religious going, you're not doing that. So I don't line up with what you're saying because I can't, there's a disconnect here for me.
Yeah.
So I pivoted and I think my grandmother might've had a similar disconnect where she couldn't sit in a building with people she knew were really not. And consistently not.
Right.
It's obviously people have struggles and have moments. But to be consistently not doing what you say you want to do is a different thing.
Well, you don't want to learn from those people.
Exactly.
So you have to be very careful of which person you want to get fed from.
Totally.
Or be re-reminded. Sometimes the sermons you hear are just, oh yeah, I should be doing that. I forgot about that. Or just highlighting something that was good about God. So that's why I go. And to sing.
you sing?
Well, just to worship and give back to him. And
I miss hymns. I miss singing hymns. Aww. Sometimes I'll sing hymns and my kids are like, what are you singing? Because,
those are kind of gone by the wayside.
A lot of them.
I think. And it depends on the church.
Probably depends on the church.
Yeah.
So I find one of the things that I miss about church is fellowship.
There you go. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And serving. So serving anywhere to me. And that's also what I try and talk about with people who are depressed or whatever. And some depression is clinical, but some is self-centered and you're too busy focusing on your own problems. And so when you serve someone else, your problems go by the wayside because they've got it worse than you do.
That is preach, lady. Preach. I talk about service all the time on this podcast.
I love serving.
Service is just, I think it's the most fulfilling thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like work and it's not.
It's almost like we're selfish because we serve to get something for, even though you're giving so much to someone else, you get so much from it.
It is a joy generator.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It just brings, so much joy. So being a Girl Scout leader for 13 years is service.
Yes.
And one of the main focuses of our troop is service. They just constantly want to be volunteering at an animal shelter. We just did a toy drive for Toys for Tots. They just constantly, and my co-leaders and I are so proud of that piece.
Yes.
Because service is something you can do in the smallest way.
Yes.
And to me, service is being nice to the lady who's bagging your groceries at the grocery store.
Yes.
Is saying hi to
someone. Smile, holding the door open, all of that. Yeah. So I recently got to be the Grand Marshal at the Veterans Parade in Phoenix. Oh, just, I'm on this Barbie car. I had a little pink Mustang. And it was a convertible. So waving, but I literally found veterans on both sides. And I would almost burst into tears because I'm like honoring them.
Yeah.
I'm giving to them because, and I looked everyone in the eye and it was so important. And we went to the VA hospital and got to be able to visit with some of the veterans that were in the hospital because they were defending our country. And even what we're going through right now, you realize the importance of freedom and the sacrifice and serving that these men and women do. And it was just so gratifying. And they're like thinking that I was, you know, to me, it was like I was there for them, not, it was all about them.
Right. But it makes you just feel, in touch with the wholeness of humanity.
Yeah.
Right? When you give, you feel like part of this bigger thing.
But as I age, I don't think I ever really thought much of Veterans Day and how important honoring them was, because it's like giving them a virtual hug. So we should be honoring all of our vets and taking care of them and making sure that they're fine and whatever, healthy and
valued.
Valued, yeah.
Appreciated.
Yep.
That they feel
yep.
gratitude.
Yep. Yep.
From everybody, yeah.
And so in Phoenix, we got one of the Code Talkers, the Navajo Code Talkers. There's only three left from World War II.
Oh, wow.
So they spoke Navajo because it was a code that couldn't be broken. And the Navajos would speak their own language and understand each other, but no one in the world could understand to break their language to understand what they were saying. So it was, they were called the Navajo Code Talkers. So there's only three left. And one was in our parade, and he's 93, 95, wow. something like that. And he was... It was just so sweet. I have a picture on Instagram that I'm like, can I take a picture with you?
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that happened. That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And what they did to survive, right?
Yes.
That's
yeah, and
so
well,
funny.
How they got roped into the war too, just because they spoke their own native language.
Right? That's how they got roped in? No.
I don't know the exact history, but yes, because their language was unbreakable. And I don't know how they figured that out. They're like, okay, since you can talk to you, all of you are going to all these different places.
Right. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's crazy. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what else can we talk about, Kim? Is do you have anything else going on that we need to talk about? How do people find you?
I have my website, KimAlexis.com, mm-hmm. and Instagram is the_KimAlexis, and Facebook is the_KimAlexis. People took my name, so I had to put a the in front.
They did? Who took your name?
I don't know.
Suckers.
So stupid
stinkers.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling my daughter, who's 17, who I was having a podcast with today.
Did she say who?
She did. She said who? Well, I watched the supermodel documentary with her, and she was like, I do not understand any of this. And I was like, let me explain to you a supermodel. It was a moment in time, I feel like. Your era, and then the era after, and then I think it just kind of stopped.
It became a common word, though. Everyone now is a supermodel.
But
they're not.
It's not the same.
But they're not.
But that's what I mean. It's
the
not term's the
gotten,
same.
Yeah.
It's not the same. So I explained it to her when we were watching the documentary. I said, she's a supermodel. She's like one of the original supermodels. Like, I knew her name as a child. She was iconic. Is iconic.
Mm-hmm.
So she started, of course, looking you up. She goes, oh my God, she's so beautiful. I said, I know, she's a beautiful woman. And everything I've read about her is she's a beautiful woman that has more going on than what you see in the pictures that you're looking at from however many years ago, 40 years ago, 30.
45.
Is it? No.
Yeah, I started at 18 and I'm 63.
Wow. A, you don't look 63. B, it can't be 45 because then I'm 53. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was like so excited to know that you were coming today. Her to learn that kind of, you know, modern day stuff is so different. Rob Lowe came and did an episode here. And for my age group, Rob Lowe is like, the two of us downstairs that are Gen Xers were like, oh my God, Rob Lowe's coming. Like, I got to do my makeup. Like, I got to make sure. Holy cow. We were sweating. And the other younger ladies were like, yeah, it's Rob Lowe. And I'm like, you don't understand. Life, we had like four TV channels. We didn't have a lot of stuff going on. magazines were what Instagram is now. So when you see an influencer, if you met an influencer today, it would be similar to me meeting you.
There you go.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So for people listening who don't understand conceptually what a big deal it is for Gen Xers and probably maybe a little younger than me, but definitely older than me, it's a huge deal to meet someone like you. It's like meeting, you know, the biggest YouTube influencer who I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, that's not my jam.
Right.
But you are my jam.
Aww.
So it's amazing to meet you and have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
We had a good conversation. We covered quite a lot.
I love it. That's the point, is that we cover quite a lot.
Yeah.
And there's so much for people to explore about what you're doing now, what you've done in the past from this conversation.
There you go.
So start reading the Men's Journal. Yeah. Everybody listening, start reading. And you have several books they can read, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Several.
And those are all on my website. Yeah.
That's great. I think they're also on Amazon.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Yep. They're easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah.
Thanks
for having me.
Of course. I'm happy you came. Thank you very much.